welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Hi, everybody. I am Rob F. Switch.
This is the video game music podcast featuring only 8-bit and 16-bit era music. And we talk about it.
It's what we do.
Before we get into today's topic, I just want to mention again that May 11th, we'll be doing our live event. It'll be our video game music game show called Name That Tune. And it's basically Name That Tune for video game music, and with also VGM karaoke and the battle mode, legacy music battle mode.
Right.
Which is a battle dance contest. Information for that will be on legacymusichour.com. Go there for more information.
Great.
May 11th. Sponsor.
Destiny Games, 42134 Ford Road, located in Canton, Michigan, 48187 is the zip code, in case anyone was wondering. I don't think I've ever given the zip code in over 70 episodes.
Oh, really?
But in case people wanted to mail something, it's there for them. 734-404-5548 for all your gaming needs.
All right, well, let's get into today's topic. How about it?
With pleasure, Brent.
All right, great. That was a good, concise intro. No funny business.
Coming in under 2 minutes. Let's hit it.
I like that. All right, so Sunsoft. Today we're going to focus on Sunsoft.
It's amazing we haven't touched on this yet.
Right. Well, we've played a lot of Sunsoft
stuff
already. And in fact, you know, our theme song is a Sunsoft track. We're just going to focus on Sunsoft and all games that were basically all games developed by Sunsoft, because Sunsoft also published a ton of stuff that they didn't develop.
Right.
But we're going to stick to the stuff that they developed. And I'm going to start things off with a track from Gimmick.
Right.
Which was released on the Famicom in Japan, and also released in Europe as Mr. Gimmick. But it was not released in North America. The music for this game is by Masashi Kagayama, and the track we're going to hear is Good Morning. And this is I thought this would be a fitting track to start the show off with, right?
Fantastic.
Good morning, right?
Sure.
You know,
some people are starting the day off with our podcast.
Hopefully. Yeah.
And
this is just a great soundtrack all around. So
great.
This is a great track. Good morning from Gimmick for the Famicom. Music from Gimmick for the Famicom, music composed by Masashi Kagayama, and the track we heard was Good Morning.
And what a good morning it is.
That's such a great track, huh?
I love that. That's the journey it takes us on.
What's that? A real cool bass line, and I love the part, sort of the second half of it. There's just, it really gets into it.
You not have a good morning to this.
Yeah. is how you start the day off right.
Love some coffee right now, actually. That's pretty nice. Some hash browns. Some eggs, too. Yeah.
I just want to get to that one part that where the breakdown part.
Yeah.
That part's just so good.
I think I'm going to use this as my new alarm tone.
Right.
On my phone.
All right, here's the part that I like a lot right here. Love this part right here. Oh, so good right there. Nice jazzy ending to that, too. What a track, huh?
I love that.
That's just a great track. I mean, what a great track. And that uses a special a chip. It's called the Sunsoft 5B, which I gave wrong information about that chip on a previous episode, but that allowed for more channels, and so you're hearing extra channels on that track.
Well, Brent, you know how we feel about incorrect information, so don't let that happen again.
Yes, sir.
Inappropriate, uncalled for.
Yes, switch.
Okay. So I guess I'm up now.
We'll, by the way, we'll be getting into more information about the hardware, the sound chips, in a bit.
I'm going to start off with an NES game, Super Spy Hunter.
Yes.
Okay. This was released in Japan as Battle Formula. Okay. And it made its way stateside. And I've got a track picked out. And I actually just have a little bit of trivia here, Brent.
All right.
Do you know when Sunsoft was founded?
I want to say it was 1971, right?
Correct.
Yes, I knew.
Do you know
that.
The exact date?
Yeah.
I'm asking if you know
the exact date.
Yes.
No, I don't.
April 16th.
Oh, wow. Wait, what's the date right now?
April 15th.
Oh, okay.
So let me just say, happy birthday, Sunsoft.
Oh, you know what? There's another track on the Gimmick soundtrack that's called Happy Birthday.
Oh, really?
Should have played that.
Maybe we can. I mean, I don't know. Nah, we'll see.
We'll save it. We'll save it.
But I'm going to
save it for next year.
Well, in honor of the birthday of Sunsoft, I have chosen this Super Spy Hunter track. So it's just a little something. It's just, me and the guys just pitched in. Just a little something. Just a little something. It's not, no big deal. No big deal.
You and the Double Dragon Boys.
Yeah. Pick. Yeah. Here you go. Here you go. There is a track from Super Spy Hunter for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and that is, of course, from Sunsoft. Let's hit that one more time. I like the part where it almost goes into Castlevania style, Castlevania mode, I like to call it, in the middle there.
Okay.
But this is some heavy happy birthday music right here. This is it. This is how you do the day of your birth. Or founding in this case.
You think this is, it sounds like Castlevania?
It reminds me of that. Yeah. I mean, I could be way off, but, and I have been many times. Except, of course, when it comes to Street Fighter II comparisons.
Right.
On point.
And then the drum solos start coming in around here. hear that? The drums?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. Oh, man, that's some heavy, heavy, heavy goodness right there. Uh-huh. Happy birthday.
Oh, it's like Batman.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
remember
right.
That? Remember that? Which is another Sunsoft game.
Right.
So I don't know if some of you may have noticed that Sunsoft has a particular sound in their music. That is the Nintendo stuff. The Nintendo stuff has a really particular sound, specifically with the bass. And there's actually something to that. I mentioned before on a couple episodes ago, this guy named Bucky, and he has these videos that he's been making about the Nintendo sound chip and different ways it was used. And he posts these videos on his site. That's retrogameaudio.tumblr.com.
Okay.
And there's one video that he made that was specifically about Sunsoft and why Sunsoft has, you know, this particular sound.
Sure.
And at first, I was just going to sort of regurgitate what I learned from that video on our podcast.
Right.
But then I thought, why not actually see if he would come on, join us and tell the listeners himself.
You know, I would have gladly accepted the regurgitated information like an eager young chick.
Yeah.
But I like this idea much better.
Yeah, we go straight to the source. And so I asked him if he'd be willing to come on the show and talk to us a little bit about the Sunsoft stuff. And he said yes. And so I'd like to introduce Bucky. Let's patch him through. Hello, Bucky.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great this evening.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about Sunsoft Audio.
Yeah, I guess let's just get right into it. Obviously, it's the Sunsoft games, particularly for Nintendo, have a certain sound. And, it sounds like a lot of that has to do with the bass. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. They had a batch of games that came out that all used this bass sample as a very distinct sound. I guess mostly because that was a pretty rare thing to do on the Nintendo. I'm not sure if the listeners are aware, but sample use on the Nintendo was something that they didn't do too often in a lot of games. In fact, games like Mega Man and Castlevania, the first Castlevania, didn't have any samples at all.
Right.
It was pretty restrictive. I guess a lot of the games, the developers probably figured that the samples took up too much space, so they didn't bother using them. But for whatever reason, Sunsoft decided to use a lot of samples in a bunch of their games for their bass lines. So it's a very unusual thing to do, but it's cool. It gives it a really raw, deep sound. It's a unique sound quality that you won't hear in other games.
So mainly the reason Sunsoft has that sound is because of the sampling. But what do you think separates that from other games that did use samples, you know, like Super C or, Zombie Nation or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I think what Sunsoft pulled off is they got a lot more mileage out of their samples. They used in their games usually, I think, around 4 to 5 different samples, and they repitched them so that you could cover a couple octaves chromatically. It's like every note, you know, on a keyboard. I'm not sure how musically inclined all the listeners are, but, you know, that's like every white and black key on a keyboard for a couple octaves. And that's something that you wouldn't have been able to pull off in Super C and some of those other games that used samples.
Right, okay. And in the video that you made about Sunsoft stuff, that there was you said that there was – they had to – you couldn't repitch things chromatically. There was only certain intervals that it would allow to repitch them, and you could only repitch them lower. What's up with that? Why was it like that?
Yeah, playing back samples on the Nintendo is really weird. You can repitch samples, but let's say like you started with a sample like something like a snare drum. You can only pitch it downwards. You can't like make it higher pitched. So if you're using something that's melodic instead, like you start with a note C, you can tune it down. And the samples have 16 possible pitches, or, you know, 15 below the starting pitch. But it gets really weird because there's these gaps near the higher values. The highest one would be the starting pitch. Like if you tune it down one, I forget the exact amount off the top of my head. It's explained through the video, but it's not like a whole step. There's a bunch of notes missing. So it's very prohibitive. You can't just take like a starting C sample, throw it in there and say, hey, now I'm going to write a melody in the sample channel on the Nintendo. You have to carefully pick all of your starting samples to accommodate all the gaps that are there.
Right.
And that's exactly what Sunsoft did. If you look at all the starting samples, they have just the perfect amount you need.
Two questions come to mind because of that. What were the reason for the gaps? How come the chips wouldn't allow to just, you know, repitch things chromatically? Do you know that, or?
This is something I tried to find out. I actually don't know the exact answer to this.
Yeah.
I actually posted this question on this. There's these forums, the NES Dev forums.
Uh-huh.
The URL is nesdev.parodius.com.
Right.
And I asked the question there, and someone said that a lot of the decisions that Nintendo made for designing the chip were pretty arbitrary, and there's not a lot of insight as to why exactly it was designed that way.
Right. The other question that comes to mind is, if they were sampling, a bunch of stuff to accommodate these gaps, since that was taking up a lot of memory, did other parts of the game suffer, or did other parts of the music suffer?
That's what's interesting. In my opinion, I don't think the Sunsoft game suffered, because a lot of those games that, you know, they're sample heavy, something like Journey to Silius.
Right.
You know, that's a pretty rocking game. The sprites look good, the graphics are great, and the gameplay is pretty tight. It is interesting, because that is a choice that the developers had to make. It does come down to, you run out of room quickly in these old games. If you implement one feature, you might not be able to stick in something else. So it's interesting wondering why, you know, other games didn't make use for the samples when these games were pretty high quality. You know, Gremlins 2 has nice graphics, and that uses samples as well. So, it's interesting that you hear that that's a roadblock, but they managed to pull off a very professional looking game.
I mean, did they use a special technique to be able to cram more information in there or something like that? Was there something like that, or?
Yeah, it was probably because of the mapper they used. I don't know which mappers they used off the top of my head. But basically, the reason earlier NES games look a lot more basic than later ones is because the earlier ones don't have mappers or more advanced mappers. Basically, a mapper is an extra chip inside the game cartridge itself, which boosts the capabilities of a game. That might mean something like you can have more assets in the game, you know, like more sprites and more background images and stuff like that. You couldn't have made the original Super Mario Brothers as expansive as Super Mario Brothers 3. It's actually running on different hardware. It's not, it's not confined to the same limitations just because it's on the same system. It's actually because of the extra chips inside the cartridges. And Sunsoft, I'm sure they were using probably some pretty standard mappers, aside from gimmick and some of the weirder stuff they did.
Right. Well, that brings also to mind, does this have anything to do with, what is the FME 7 and what did it do? What did that do?
FME 7, again, like a lot of the other chips that did sound expansion, those were actually similar to the rest of the mappers. They did a lot of things for the system, and this goes beyond my knowledge a little bit because I'm not like a programmer fully knowledgeable of all the ins and outs of the Nintendo. But having the more advanced mappers would allow for things like more graphics in the game. But some of those mappers also allowed for sound expansion.
Right.
And the FME7 is an interesting one. A handful of games had that chip inside it, but only one of them used a variation of that chip for sound expansion, and that was Gimmick.
Right. Well, that was a different one, though, called the Sunsoft 5B, right?
5B. Yeah, it's odd. It's the same chip, from what I gather, as the FME7, just with a slight variation. A lot of websites refer to Gimmick Sound Expansion as the FME7.
Yeah.
But there's some discussion in the community. Some people are saying call it the Sunsoft 5B for clarification, but it's basically the same thing.
But that allowed for some extra channels. But with the FME7, that didn't allow for extra channels. What did it actually do? It just allowed for more, you know, it allowed for more information, I guess, to be crammed in there, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine, I think that's what Batman Return of the Joker had.
Yeah.
It didn't use it for extra music, but that game has really awesome graphics. So I imagine that was responsible for that the FME7 chip.
Right. Okay. And then, I don't know, I guess so Blaster Master didn't use the FME7, I guess, right?
Right, yeah, it was just Gimmick. And
Just Gimmick and Batman, Return of Joker, yeah.
And Batman, and maybe one or two other games, I don't remember.
Right. And then I think just one last thing was, just out of curiosity, since you know a lot about this stuff, what are your favorite Sunsoft tracks?
Oh, geez. My favorite soundtrack overall is probably Journey to Silius.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But it's hard to pick a favorite. I mean, Gimmick is probably a close second. I like a lot of the soundtracks. Blaster Master.
Any particular tracks? From those games you mentioned?
Yeah, Gimmick, I know some of them by name. Strange Memories of Death is a really cool one. That one is actually unused in the game, but it's in the sound test.
Uh-huh.
And Journey to Silius, there's one with these really cool drum fills. Unfortunately, I don't remember which stage it is.
I know what you mean. I remember that. I know there's these drum fills, yeah. Maybe that's like stage two or something like that.
Oh, there is something else pretty cool that Sunsoft did with their audio in a couple of their games.
Yes.
Blaster Master and Fester's Quest, and possibly some others, but those are the only two games I found it in. They have this really weird trick, which I'm planning on making a video about, that's extremely rare, and you won't find it in many games at all. I don't know of any other games off the top of my head that do it, but they do something where they essentially overclock the NES to make some sounds that you couldn't make otherwise. If you listen to the Game Over jingle in Blaster Master, it ends with this sort of croak. It sounds like a
right,
frog.
The frog. The frog, yeah. Actually commented on that frog sound in another episodes, actually.
Yeah, that sound is very weird. That's actually the triangle channel making that sound.
Oh, interesting, right.
It doesn't sound anything like the triangle otherwise. And they're doing this weird thing where it's sort of like this gated effect where they're turning the volume on and off very quickly.
Uh-huh.
But it's done at a speed that's so fast that you need to run the system at a faster rate than it normally runs at to be able to even pull off that sound, which is why you won't find it often. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, I don't know. I think at that point, Blaster Master was probably one of the more advanced soundtracks. It was better than their earlier soundtracks, in my opinion. Like their earliest soundtracks, you know, from 85, 87, around then, were more simplistic in the sound design.
Yes.
And then once Blaster Master came out, it looked like they were cramming a lot more effects in there. And the frog croak sound is interesting. I guess they were just trying to experiment and, you know, try to push the sound chip to its limits.
Yeah, it's weird that you hear that in Fester's Quest, because, I mean, I guess the frog, that noise maybe has something to do with the frog, you know, the frog in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, like, I mean, it's funny that it's used in Fester's Quest too, even though there's, the frog isn't in that. But
yeah, because I think, because I was trying to look up the games earlier, I think, to get my history down, I think Fester's Quest came out a little bit later, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's funny. I think maybe they made it to sound like a frog, and then for Fester's Quest, they probably figured, hey, we have this crazy sound, let's just use it again.
right. Let's use it to this time. Maybe represent Fester's stomach or something like that. well, listen, thanks so much for coming on and sharing this information. It's really cool, you know, hearing this stuff from somebody who knows, you know, what they're talking about and stuff. Just to mention again, you can find more information like this at retrogameaudio.tumblr.com. And what's your YouTube channel again?
Oh, it's Explod 2A03. That's E X PLOD2A03.
And is there anything else you want to mention?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Thanks a lot for inviting me on the show.
Oh, we appreciate it very much. Your videos are really great, really informative. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Oh, thanks so much. Okay, well, I'm going to actually move into... Bucky mentioned that he liked the Journey to Silius a lot. Yeah. I'm actually going to play a track from Journey to Silius.
Nice.
This is music composed by Naoki Kodaka, Nobuyuki Hara, and Shinichi Seiya. And this is stage 3. And I've mentioned this before, but Naoki Kodaka was the main composer at Sunsoft during the sort of Nintendo era. And that was sort of the main team, those three names. So this is stage 3 from Journey to Silius for the Nintendo Entertainment System. This is music from Journey to Silius. Music composed by Naoki Kodaka, Nobuyuki Hara, and Shinichi Seiya. This is stage 3.
All right.
And yeah, you can hear that bass in there, that sampled bass.
Yeah.
I've almost beat this game, but I haven't beaten it.
When is that going to happen?
I don't know. I got to just apply myself and just go for it. I should beat it, you know. Video games are kind of like books for me, you know.
Oh yeah.
I'll pick up a video game and, you know, play it until I beat it, basically.
Right.
You know, until I complete it. I mean, that's what I do instead of books.
Video games.
For the most part.
I had nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I read a book every now and then, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to play another Naoki Kodaka and Nobuyuki Hara track.
Uh-huh.
I'm going Batman.
Right.
NES, which we've heard from before on the show.
Yep.
Here you go. Batman, Nintendo Entertainment System, Naoki Kodaka and Nobuyuki Hara. What stage is that, Brent?
Stage 3.
Stage 3. You know, I was actually humming this.
You were humming this before.
When we were setting up for the show.
Yeah.
You guessed it dead on. You said, that's Batman.
Right.
That's Batman, man.
No, that's not how, what I said. I said, that's Batman.
Batman. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to move on to the classic. I kind of consider this the Sunsoft flagship game.
You wouldn't say Batman is a flagship game.
Well, no. Would you know what game I'm talking about?
That would be Telltale Mahjong.
Exactly. Telltale Mahjong. We're going to hear a track from Telltale Mahjong. No, I'm just kidding. Blaster Master.
Aha, right.
Wait, actually, ask me what we're going to hear from right now.
What are we going to hear from, Brent?
Blaster Master. I'm trying to say that like Batman, obviously. Okay, so Blaster Master. This is music composed solely by Naoki Kodaka. And this is, I think, the only level we haven't heard on our podcast so far. This is level 6, and it's the ice level. Never played it on the ice episode,
but okay,
playing it now. So music from Blaster Master for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Music from Blaster Master. Music by Naoki Kodaka. This is level 6. The ice level.
Very nice.
I like this part coming up right here a lot. I like that. Also, I like in the beginning how the... I don't know, the bass gets really crazy in the beginning, you know? Here, I'll play that part again. The bass has this sort of warpy sound to it. Not, I mean, by warpy, I don't mean warped, but I mean,
right,
sounds like you're warping, you know?
Sure.
Like warp zoning.
Like going into warping into another level.
Yeah. Level 6.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey. I think that covers all of our levels of Blaster Master, and almost the entire soundtrack too. I think there's,
wow.
I think there's one track that we haven't played from Blaster Master. I think, but yeah.
What are the, is there another game that we've covered an entire soundtrack?
Oh yeah, there's many of them.
Interesting.
I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog, I think, I'm pretty sure.
Right, okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
I think Metroid, probably. I think was all of them. And Outrun, we did all of Outrun, I think.
Right.
I think there's more, too, I think, yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Well, I have got Telltale Mahjong.
Right. The other flagship, the real flagship show.
Right, this is
show, not show, but the flagship game.
This was what Sunsoft was all about right here.
Yeah.
Actually, have you ever played Mahjong?
I don't think so. Have you?
No, not really sure what that's about.
Okay.
It's a board, some type of board game, yes?
No, it's some sort of domino, like Chinese domino type of thing or something. Okay. I don't know.
Okay. I'll be playing a track called BGM 4, Background Music 4, and this is a Genesis title.
Yeah.
The composer is unknown.
Okay.
Here we go. BGM4, and that is from Telltale Mahjong for the Sega Genesis. Unknown author. I like that. It's got a little tropical feel.
Right.
What was that?
No, it was answering you. Ah. You're like, it's got a little bit of a tropical feel. Oh, it just did it just now. Wow.
Answering you again.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Low call and response.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like an animal.
You think it sounds like an animal? See, it answered. You know, it's funny. Why don't you ask a question?
Okay.
You know, like 8-Ball, Magic 8-Ball?
Right.
Ask a question about your future.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. What shall I ask? Magic 8-Ball?
No.
Or Magic Mahjong Ball? Will I have a good week this week?
That was a no, I think.
No?
Unfortunately. I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. It sounded like a no. I don't know.
Let me see. Magic Mahjong Ball. Is Brent really my friend?
I don't know. That sounded like a no also.
No, that was definitely a yes. That was a yes.
Yes. Okay, here. I got Magic 8-Ball. Mahjong 8-Ball. Mahjong. Okay. What did we eat earlier today, Rob and me?
Oh, that sounded like Panda Express.
I guess so. Any last questions? Wait, hold on. I got it.
Okay, ready? What do you got?
Any last questions? I guess that's a no.
No, this is very negative. Negative Mahjong. Magic Mahjong Ball.
I'm going to play something from Fester's Quest.
Okay.
Composers on this, there's no credits to this game, and I couldn't really get a really solid confirmation on the composers. But some sources say Nobuyuki Hara and Naoki Kodaka, and that's probably right. You know, they were doing those... You know, they were doing those soundtracks at the time.
Right.
But, you know, it'd be safer to say that the composer is unknown. The track we're going to hear is Outside. And this is from Fester's Quest for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Fester's Quest, and this is called Outside. I either beat this game or came really close to beating it.
Close to beating it, huh?
Yeah, when I was younger. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I like how the drums kick back in at the end. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to wait for that part to come again.
Sure.
It's coming up right here, actually. The drum's coming in right here. I like the drums right there.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of just gets you going, you know, gets you into it, you know?
Good track.
Yeah. just got curious. Actually, one thing I didn't ask Bucky was, since the bass was a sample, the bass was a sample, right?
Right.
What's the triangle doing then? I just want to take a listen to that right now, real quick.
Okay.
Okay, interesting. So here's the triangle right here.
Which is doing some samba.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of being used as a sort of, I guess, a percussive sort of garnet. It sounds almost like tom-toms, right? Or something like that. I guess it's an extra garnish, I guess, yeah.
Garnish. I like that.
Something. Interesting. Here's the bass by itself. Separating the channels like that, it almost kind of sounds like a remix or something, you know?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I like that remix. We should just shout out remix like the DJs do.
Right, yeah.
Remix. I am going to go to Super Fantasy Zone.
Yes.
This is a Sega Genesis track from composer Hiroshi Kawaguchi.
Well, there's more to that.
Oh, really?
Well, the thing is Hiroshi Kawaguchi did the music to the original Fantasy Zone, which was a Sega game.
Right.
And but Sunsoft did this new one, Super Fantasy Zone, and Naoki Kotaka actually did the music for it.
Okay.
But they reused some of the old songs from the original Fantasy Zone, and that's why Kawaguchi is credited.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Sure.
So, by the way, I don't know, does that ring the name ring a bell for you at all?
Hiroshi Kawaguchi?
Yeah.
No.
Hiroshi Kawaguchi actually composed the music to Outrun.
Get
out. Our old friend.
Our old friend, yeah.
So, it's more of a Sega person, you know? But they, like I said, they just reuse some of the old tracks from Fantasy Zone. But the new tracks were all Naoki Kotaka. So, anyway, yeah.
I will be playing the staff role.
And the staff role to this, I think, is new to this game. So this is from Naoki Kotaka.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here it is, the staff role from the game Super Fantasy Zone for the Sega Genesis. Staff role from the game Super Fantasy Zone.
From composer Naoki Kotaka.
The one, the only.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only. Welcome to Put Your Hands Together. Ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's too late.
I messed up.
That's too late. Let me try talking it up. Come on.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. And now the moment you've all been waiting for. Here's the composer of the hour, Naoki Kodaka.
Almost. It's pretty good. It's better. Definitely better than me. And one more time. Let's do it again. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the moment you've all been waiting for.
Put your hands together for the moment you've been waiting for.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Naoki Kodaka. Best time.
Too late. But you know what I like? I like that we're putting our hands together for the moment we've been waiting for. Yeah. As if I'm going to go, yeah, this is the moment.
Uh-huh. All right, one more time?
Yeah.
We could do it together this one. Okay, like two hype guys.
Right.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Children of all ages.
Gather around. Put your hands together.
And this is the moment you've been waiting for, so put them together.
You love him. You know him. Naoki Kodaka. That's perfect. That's perfect.
I don't know if I'd call it perfect.
I mean, it was almost.
It was our best one, that's for sure.
That's good. That's good, though.
That's good.
Okay. That song's perfect for, introducing somebody.
Sure. We should
use this for Name That Tune, maybe, or something.
Oh,
I don't know. We got a good thing already the way it is. Yeah.
Well, I think maybe you and I should just introduce things to this randomly.
Yeah.
And just take it on the road. And we'll just go to various towns and just introduce.
Just go around as introducers.
Right. Sure.
Professional introducers.
Professional introducers. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, lots of cool stereo stuff going on here. A lot of kind of some fair amount of layers in this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool track. Cool track. It's a good choice. Good choice.
Okay.
I'm going to play something now from a game called Pescatore. Did you look into this game at all?
Doesn't it only have a couple of... No, that's the... What was it? Super Arab? Super Arabian?
Super Arabian.
It only has a couple of tracks. No, I didn't get a chance to look into Super Pescatore.
It's not Super Pescatore. It's just Pescatore.
Oh, Pescatore. Right. So Super Pescatore is later down the line.
So Pescatore was a puzzle game.
Okay.
Unreleased.
Okay.
And it may have been co-developed by a company called... Tearhit or something, because I saw that listed. But, you know, based on... And some sources said it was just developed by Tearhit or whatever, however... Or I guess it would be Tearhit, I guess is the company's name. And it was only published... Or it was only going to be published by Sunsoft. But based on the sound, it very much has that Sunsoft sound with the sampled bass and everything. Right. So I'm pretty sure that... And just based on the sound of the music, that it's just Sunsoft developed it, or they co-developed it, or something like that. But anyway, this is an unreleased game, and it was going to come out for the Famicom. And this is an unused track. This is unused track one, but I guess they're all unused. But this one, even if this game did come out, it seems like this track would have still been unused.
Okay.
All right. So unused track one. From Pescatore for the Famicom, unreleased game from Sunsoft. From the unreleased title Pescatore, and this I guess would have been unused track number one, and composer unknown on this, but it sounds so much like a, you know, it sounds very much like a Sunsoft game, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it almost kind of reminds me of a gimmick, actually. Yeah. I like this part coming up right here. I like that. I like that. A little bit of a staircase right there.
Oh, yeah. Touching on the last episode.
Yeah. Fun track, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here comes the staircase again. That's good. I like that.
What do you know about the Nintendo Versus system?
I don't know that.
No. It looks like it's some kind of arcade game, but just with Nintendo hardware.
Okay.
Anyway, that's how I found out about Freedom Force.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it was, I think it was a legit arcade release. This is, I don't know if it was officially licensed by Nintendo.
But yeah, it must have been.
It's just hardware that was. It's based on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Okay.
So that's how I heard about Freedom Force,
uh-huh.
Which, of course, was released for the NES as well. And the track I am going to play, I don't have a name for, and I have not played this game.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, because I am a fan of Freedom, and I am a fan of Force.
For sure.
So this was just a...
You love all the games with Force in their title. Thunder Force, Lightning Force,
right.
Freedom Force... You know,
right? If it's got Force in it,
Darius Force, maybe.
Was that an actual game, or was it Darius?
Yeah.
Well, Darius Force.
Yeah, I don't think you've heard it, but I think you probably would like it because it's got Force in it.
Okay, here you go. Freedom Force. And you found out that's stage 2 walkway.
No. Yeah, terminal walkway. Yeah. Stage 2 terminal walkway.
Man, the beginning, if we could go back to that, is almost like a real rock song.
Right.
A little intro. Boom. Power kick. And you're going to your lyrics. You know what I mean when I say power kick?
Can you do it?
One more time. Play
I mean, can that. can you start doing the lyrics?
St. Louis, good to see ya. Oh. Then you do a little growl. One more time. Let me see if I can do that. St. Louis, you know I love ya. The Double Dragon Boys. Oh, I couldn't think of it.
Here you go. One more time.
All right. All right, start up one last time. Charleston, coming back for a little chew. Chewing you all the time like a candy vine. Something like that.
But, okay.
But, you know, that's how rock singers... this reminds me very, very much of 80s rock.
Uh-huh.
Not really a hardcore metal song.
Right.
But... Some 80s hair metal power ballad.
How about this? Check this out. Ladies and gentlemen. put your hands together for the moment you've been all waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, Naoki Kanoka. I messed up on that.
Yeah. But that's good.
The gist of the joke came across. All right, well, I'm going to play something from Trip World.
Okay, we've heard from Trip World before. Good soundtrack.
This is actually, I think, a track that you and I both picked.
Okay.
But yeah, we have heard it before.
By the way, I always love when that happens.
Sure, yeah. It's the magic of the Double Dragon.
Yes.
So this is a Japanese-only release for the Game Boy. This is the composers on this are Tsutomu Ishida, Masayuki Iwata, Atsushi Mihiro, that is, and Phase Out. Mm-hmm. Some alias.
Right.
Phase Out. And these are the credits, this is the credits music from Trip World for the Game Boy, Japan only. Sunsoft title for the Game Boy in Japan only from composers Tsutomu Ishida, Masayuki Iwata, Atsushi Mihiro, and Phase Out. This is the credits. Pretty tight track, huh?
You beat me to it.
Right. You were going to say tight?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I like in the beginning of the track, you hear these drums kind of come in just for a little bit, you know? Here, check it out. Oh, that's where it ends.
Yeah, that is where it ends.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it's the same. It was the same song again.
Good just, track, though. Good track.
A good track, yeah. Let's get into it again. Yeah.
Let's hit that one more time.
Do you hear that? Do you hear the tom-toms, you know? Like, it's like, boom, boom.
Let me hear that.
Boom, boom. Listen to the tom-toms right here. Well, check it out. That's kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
This is a jam, though, huh? I like the stereo effect, too, you know?
That is classic Game Boy goodness.
Yeah. But actually, you know, usually Game Boy games use that kind of what sounds like a sawtooth wave for the bass, but
okay.
This doesn't seem to be using that, though.
Let's see. You know, I'm going to go to something we haven't heard from yet, a TurboGrafx 16 title.
Yes.
And the selection I have comes to us from Banky Gaiden.
Gaiden.
Oh, no, not Banky. Bankei.
Bankei.
Bankei. Bankei Gaiden.
Bankei.
So this is a Sunsoft TG16 title?
Yeah.
Coming at you.
By the way, I picked this track also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Again, two for two.
Yeah. But I, yeah.
Straight up, tight jam.
Yeah.
From the game Benkei Gaiden. Where does it end? Doesn't. I mean, this is just, we're grooving all night long.
Sure, yeah, it's a party. This is definitely a tight jam, actually. Love this part right here. Dun, 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 dun. I like that.
This is my favorite one so far.
Oh, yeah?
Of the episode.
Okay.
Brent, if I was going to be stuck on a desert island with only one Sunsoft track.
Oh, yeah?
This is the one.
Okay. Next, we're going to hear... Oh, by the way, that game is for, it's a PC engine only.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm pretty sure.
Excuse me. I said excuse me.
Yes, yes. So, all right. Next, we're going to hear from a game called Hebereke.
Okay.
Okay. This is this is released in Japan as Hebereke, but in Europe and Australia, it was released as Euphoria, the Saga. It was not released in North America. And the composers on this, this is a Nintendo game, mm-hmm. or Famicom game, okay. Famicom Nintendo game. Composers are Naoki Kodaka and Nobuyuki Hara and Shinichi Seiya. And the track we're going to hear is Hebe's Adventure. I don't know, maybe it's Hebereki. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know. I would pronounce it as Hebereke. But yeah, Hebe's Adventure from Hebereke for the Famicom. ¶¶ music from Hebereke for the Famicom, well, and the Nintendo in Europe and Australia. Music by Naoki Kodaka, Nobuyuki Hara, and Shinichi Seiya. Hebe's Adventure. Kind of a, you know, pretty, you know, pretty typical soft, Sunsoft sound.
Yeah.
You know, with that sample bass. I like this part a lot more. I guess, you know, a lot of, I mean, Sunsoft's heyday was basically the Nintendo era, you know?
Right.
And I guess Sunsoft games were considered pretty cutting edge because they, their soundtracks, you know, had this kind of sound, you know?
Just for the soundtracks, or, I mean, we're talking
The sound and the gameplay and the graphics and stuff. Yeah. It was, they were all considered cutting edge, but I think the music had a lot to do with it getting that reputation of being cutting edge, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because with that bass, you know, it just, it really makes it sound like there's, you know, the music sounds, you know, has this fuller sort of sound, this deeper sound than a lot of other Nintendo games, you know?
Yeah. I am closing out the old set here with Telltale Stadium.
Mm-hmm. If now, you love Telltale Mahjong, you'll love, I mean, if you like Telltale Mahjong, you'll love Telltale Stadium.
Right. Which, of course, is after Telltale Mahjong, then you go pro. And now you're in the big leagues and you play in the stadiums.
Yeah.
Which is what's going on here.
Uh-huh.
And you compete in Mahjong Bloodsport.
Yeah.
For the excitement and the pleasure of the thousands that come to the stadium to watch Mahjong Bloodsport.
Yes. By the way, I actually think this game is a baseball game, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. The composers for this soundtrack are Shinichi Seiya.
Yeah, Shinichi Seiya.
Shinichi Seiya.
Shinichi Seiya is the person who's been in that main group of three composers, yeah.
And Vial Music.
I don't know what that is.
I think that's got to be an alias.
Well, some kind of thing. I don't know.
And the track I will be playing is Unknown Sound Test 0B.
Oh, yeah. I had this track picked out, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three. I guess, you know, when it comes to Sunsoft, you and I definitely agree on many things.
When it comes to Sunsoft, you and I are sun hard.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
I guess. I don't know.
Telltale Stadium. That is a Sega Genesis Mega Drive title. And that is Unknown Sound Test 0B from composers Shinichi Seiya and Vial Music.
This is a very good track. Very good.
I love it.
I love it too.
I'm glad I chose to close my set with this one.
And it has a kind of bittersweet sound to it too, and you know the chord changes are pretty simple. It's just two chords, but I just love that sort of piano sound, you know, and just with the synths over it, you know, just sounds so good. And then there's a weird sort of kind of phaser sort of sound also. It reminds me of like a gate, like a chain link fence, you know, or something.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like hitting a chain link fence, you know? You know what I mean? Like that bow. You know? This is a good track, though. Really good track. I mean, it just, it's pretty simple. I mean, the chord changes are pretty simplistic, but yeah, just it has a really cool mood to it, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
The mood. It's all about the mood on this one. This one. No? You hear that? Wow. Wow. It's cool. It's nice. Very nice. It's almost kind of got a new age sound to it, too. I like that. All right. Well,
should have saved that for the new age episode.
Or no, I don't even know. It's good. It's fine. So that's it for our focus on Sunsoft. Yes, of course, there's many games we didn't play from, you know, like the unreleased Sunman or Batman came out for Genesis. It came out for Game Boy, and those have totally different soundtracks than the Nintendo version. And also there's all kinds of other like really early games from Sunsoft, like Route 16, Turbo, and, you know, Super Arabian. And
By the way, there are a lot of games that are associated with Sunsoft, but not developed by them.
Well, yeah, I said that earlier in the show. Yeah, lots of games published by Sunsoft also, but that's a whole nother ball. I mean, I don't know. I think it was better for us to sort of focus on the ones they developed, because there is that particular sound, and you know, hopefully you got a better grasp for that sound in this episode. For a full track listing, check out LegacyMusicHour.com. And, you know, if you want to contact us, you can reach us at legacymusichour@gmail.com.
Give us a call, as always, 281-SONIC-91. We eagerly await your voicemails and your text messages.
And, again, thank you so much to Bucky for joining us briefly and talking about the... talking more about the Sunsoft stuff. And, you know, I hope you guys... you know, that helped you gain insight into, you know, how Sunsoft worked with the Nintendo sound chip. And also, check out retrogameaudio.tumblr.com for more stuff about that. Not just Sunsoft stuff. Not just Sun stuff, but, you know, other Nintendo-related stuff. And his YouTube channel, which you can find on that. On that site. Okay, so our next topic for next week will be, you know, it'll be our half year mark again. I mean, for this year,
right?
You know, which means, and what we did last year in the halfway point was we did a Beyond 16-bit episode, okay, where we looked at stuff that was 32-bit and on.
Sure.
And so we're going to do that again because it's going to be our half year mark. For next episode.
Okay.
And we'll have some a special guest joining us on that episode.
Right.
It'll be an extra long episode, actually.
Okay.
Because we're going to cover some Beyond 16-bit ground, which we only do once a year, it seems like. And so, we'll be playing some... it'll be a longer episode. So anyway, yeah. And it'll be fun. I think we'll have some guests, hear some Beyond 16-bit tracks, one time only. So check it out next week.
Can't wait.
Okay, we'll be leaving you with a track from Return of the Joker for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And this is from composers Naoki Kodaka, Nobuyuki Hara, and Shinichi Seiya. And this is the ending track. And I think this is fitting. One, it's an ending track.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Batman Return of the Joker kind of has a darker sound to it, and... we started with Good Morning, and so this is sort of a kind of a darker, you know, it's kind of a full circle, I think, you know? Or there's an arc to that. Start with Good Morning, end with the ending for Batman, Return of Joker, it's kind of darker, and it just seems like it fits, right?
I would say Good Night, like Batman.
Oh, does he say that?
Good Night.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Or maybe he says, Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
Right? Is that what he says? Sure. I don't know.
That's better.
No, that's worse. Way worse, actually. My name is Brent Weibach.
I'm Robert.
Thank you for listening. Good night.